Very good. Let's see your Bibles this morning.
Word.
Let's see your pens.
Amen.
And your lesson plan. Let's weigh those lesson plans. Okay. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers 20. Lord, we are so grateful that we are alive today. Thank you that we have your Bible, the foundation of our truth. And we pray you bless us, and challenge us in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen. Amen.
If you're wondering why I'm praying while you're looking for the thing, you can pray with your eyes open. It's okay. Okay. How many of you are the type of person that when you get something you're going to put together, you read the directions first, you lay all the parts out, all the tools, you get everything organized, then you start putting it together? How many of y'all like that? Okay. Okay. You just do it in an orderly fashion. Okay. Same thing when you go on a trip, you want to know all the directions, you want to know all the facts, the weather report, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. How many of y'all just go for it? Okay. Majority of us. And usually don't get done right, but anyway. We would think one day we're going to figure this out. That's how I am. I don't really have, like the majority of y'all, the patience to look through the directions and go through all that. And my wife, she's the opposite. She's the methodical one, very patient, methodical. And she'll say, do you think you should read the directions? No, I got this. I see the picture. Don't you want to check to make sure all the parts are there so we can take it back? No, go back to the store. Are you kidding me? We'll figure it out. So then she goes in another room because she knows it ain't going to be fun. But one of the things I like to do is I have a very good sense of direction. Like if you put me in a city, I used to fly into these cities around the country and speak at high school. So I would go to Connecticut and speak to 5 or 6 high schools in a week. And so I would go, get a hotel, rent a car and just figure out how to get to all these high schools every day. And, I would pride myself in never getting lost. I never got lost because I'm here today. I'd still be driving around Connecticut. And when your kids are really little, they think that daddy can never get lost. Daddy can do anything. Now, key word, really little. And then as they grow up, they realize daddy ain't as perfect as we thought. Amen? We've been doing a series called Road Trip. That's the word road, and there's the word trip. About the Israelites walking from Mount
Sinai
to the plains of
Moab.
This is Sinai for sinuses. This is Moab for abs. And they went from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab. And we've been talking about how they're going from a place of spiritual bondage to a place of to the promised land, spiritual blessing. And as we've been tracking their journey, we've been learning some insights on our spiritual journey that we're all on. And the guy who was leading them and is leading them or led them was Moses. The Bible tells Moses was the most humble man ever to live, that he spoke to God face to face as a man speaks with his friend. We saw last week that Moses was a very spiritual leader, where Korah, who confronted him last week's sermon, was a natural leader. If you weren't here last week, you should get that tape, especially if you're in a place of leadership, compares a spiritual leader to a natural leader. So Moses was, he's a godly guy. He speaks to God. The pillar of fire, pillar of smoke comes down. When he goes into the tabernacle to speak to God, he performed all these miracles. But we have to realize that Moses made a mistake. Moses made a mistake, and his mistake was so bad that God told him, you're not going to go into the promised land because of your mistake. Now what we're going to learn from this is that one, no matter how holy you think you are, no matter how self-righteous you think you are, no matter how much Bible you think you know, you're going to mess up. You need to know that about yourself, and we all need to know that about each other. So when someone messes up, we don't get shocked. How could that happen? Oh, they're phony. No, they're just human. Just human. Humans mess up. Humans sin. Humans make mistakes. And humans need to forgive other humans. We need to know that. Well, Moses makes this mistake, and what we're going to learn today is what that mistake is, so we don't make that mistake, and if you do, that you would repent and try to do what you can to prevent from making it again. Okay? Little background. Numbers is the book of what? There's two words. Everyone say numbering.
Numbering.
And what else? Say wandering. Okay? So this book of numbering and wandering, it's also the book of murmuring and complaining. Say murmuring.
Murmuring.
Say murmuring.
Murmuring.
Why? Because they complained all the time. They complained about having no water. They complained about having no, more than once. They complained about having no bread, so God gave them manna. They complained about having no meat, so God gave them quail. They complained Moses was a bad leader, so God killed them. So remember last week God killed them? Okay, and it's how they did it, but God, He opened up the earth, swallowed up Korah's family, fire came down, burned up 250 other brothers, and then a plague broke out and 14,700 other people died. God said, don't mess with my man Moses. So that was last week. Okay. They complained about Moses having an Ethiopian soul sister wife. Read Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Moses got an Ethiopian wife, or we might say a Cushite wife. Cush is one of the descendants of Noah, and Cush is the same as Ethiopia. Anyway, they complained about that. They complained about everything. Moses couldn't do nothing right. And so it's the book of murmuring. So now we're going to see them complain again because of water. No water. God's going to tell Moses what to do to get him water, and that's when Moses makes his mistake. Okay, before we start, let me give you four words. Everyone say water. Say water.
Water.
Water is H. Water. I am never going to talk like I'm from California. Because when you talk to me from California, you're always asking a question. That's how people from California talk. Where do you live? I live in La Jolla. Are you sure? How old are you? I'm 16. I go to the Rock. Listen to people talk. That's how they talk. That's how y'all talk. I'm not talking like that. Water. Everyone say water.
Water.
And water is H2O. You drink it. Washing it. Whatever you do with water. Everyone say speak.
Speak.
That's when words come out of your mouth. Say speak.
Speak.
Words come out of your mouth. Say rock. It's a rock. Say rod.
Rod.
Say rod.
Rod.
How many syllables does rod have? Say rod.
Rod.
Do you know in the Vietnamese language? Does anybody here speak Vietnamese? Raise your hand. They can verify what I'm getting ready to say? Okay. What's your name? What's your name? Melanie, you speak Vietnamese? Okay. This is what I heard, so please verify. That in the Vietnamese language, every word is one syllable. Is that true? Think about it. She says yes, every word. Can you imagine how incredible that is? Every single word is one syllable. My name, Mao. You can't say Mao, just say Mao. It's one syllable, okay? So speak is when words come out of your mouth. I don't know where that came from, but that just came to my mind, okay? Oh, rod, that's where it came from. Rod is a stick, okay? Rod is a stick, okay? So everyone say it again, water.
Water.
Speak.
Speak.
Rock.
Rock.
Rod.
Rod.
Okay, let's read verse 20, verse 1, chapter 20. The children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was buried. Miriam was Moses' sister, and she was Aaron's sister, because Moses and Aaron were brothers. Verse 2, now there was no water, everyone say water, for the congregation, and they gathered together and confronted Moses and Aaron again. And the people complained with Moses and spoke, saying, If only
we die when our brethren die before the Lord. Why have you brought out the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness that we may and our animals may die? And why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us into the evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink.
They're complaining. They just finished complaining, and God smoked them. God said three times since they left Egypt, I wanted to kill them all because they complained. Still complaining. Complain. You know, complaining don't get you nothing but a headache. Some people have learned the art of complaining, that the squeaky wheel gets the oil, so they keep complaining, and that's how they get stuff. Don't do that. You're irritating. People give you that stuff just to shut you up. I'm not trying to be so funny, but it is. Let's see if I can manipulate the situation and get what I want by just being a pain in the neck, so they let me go away. Trust God, because then you're going to do the same thing with God. You're going to start to manipulate God that way. Try to manipulate God's people that way. And God wants you to trust Him to let Him provide for you by you doing it His way. But anyway, let's keep reading. It says in verse 6, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, everyone say rod, you and your brother Aaron, and gather the congregation. Speak, say speak, to the rock, say rock, before their eyes, and I will yield water, say water. Thus you shall bring water from the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded, and Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock and said to them, hear now, you rebels, you pain in the neck complaining Israelites. Must we bring water out of this rock? And Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod. Water came out, the congregation and the animals drank. Is that what God told him to do? Oh, no. He told Moses to speak to the rock with the rod in his hand and water will come out. That's not what he told him to do. Look what it says. Verse 12. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. They had a little meeting. Moses, can we have a minute? Because you did not believe me to hollow me in the eyes of the Lord, or to holler in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Moses, because you did not honor me as holy in front of the people, you will not go into the promised land. How many of y'all know the Geico Gecko? Anybody? The brother's cool, ain't he? If you don't know the Geico Gecko, if you haven't really appreciated his humor or just how cool he is, next time you see a Geico commercial with the gecko, watch very closely. And you have to watch the little things. Watch his fingers. Because he's very, very, he'll scratch himself like that. He'll type in the typewriter. And in one of the interviews, or one of the commercials, he's being interviewed by a talk show host. It's a little gecko. And he's talking about Geico, how you can call and talk to an associate, and he does this with his hands. And the interviewer says, what about you? Can we talk to you? And he does this. You know it? Brother's so cool. He goes, I'm here for Geico, love. Don't delve into my personal life. But as soon as she says, can anybody of the jillion people in America who want insurance talk to you? He goes, God told Moses, Moses, you ain't going to the promised land. You got to be kidding me. After all I've been doing for these peoples, you ain't going to let me in? What did Moses do that God would punish him like that? It seems kind of harsh. Now, I really don't know how harsh it was to Moses, because he was going to be 120 years old. He probably was so tired he was ready to die. But God did say, I want you to go in. Now, he says, the reason being, you didn't trust me. You didn't trust me enough to honor me as holy in front of these people. The title is Miss Moses. And the reason the title is Miss Moses is because Moses made a mistake. And he misrepresented God in three different ways. We're going to look at them. Number one, in your notes. Moses misrepresented God's heart. Everyone say heart. When people experience you, when people talk to you, when people encounter you, do they encounter God's heart? Some people are so caught up in what they know about God they're never caught up in that they know God. Some people are so caught up in being right, they never want to be, they're not as much caught up in doing right. When people count on you, they want to know about how much you know about God. They want to know, do you know God? And they want to meet God. They don't want to meet your information. They want to meet the person. And so Moses went up there and he says, you know what? He completely forgot about God's heart and his compassion and his love and his mercy. And he just wanted to do what he wanted to do because he was so frustrated. And by the way, Moses had, I don't say he's justified to be frustrated. He was so frustrated in chapter 11, he wanted to die. He told God, kill me now. So I can understand the brother's pain. But it doesn't excuse Moses from misrepresenting God. And so the question is, when people meet you, are they in encountering God and his compassion, his love, his patience, and by the way, his supernatural compassion, supernatural love, his supernatural patience. In other words, they're not to encounter your patience. Our patience has a limit. Our love has a limit. Our friendship has conditions. God's love is limitless. His patience, his joy, his fruit, his plans for our life, his vision is limitless. We need to tap into that limitlessness of God and express that to people. That is part of our life's journey, is to get more of that. So when people experience you, they go, man, it's something different, something that is beyond human. When I say beyond human, rarely seen in people. Matter of fact, it is unseen in people who don't have God. And so, look at verse 8. Verse 8, he says, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. Don't hit the rock. He said, Moses, I want these people to understand that I want to talk to them. I don't want to hit them. God doesn't want to get you to do what he wants you to do through pain. Now, you may bring that pain on yourself because you are defiant to God. Because you just mess up. And I say you, us, we. You know, we ignore God. We defy God. We blatantly disobey God. And so pain is coming. Why? Because the Bible says the penalty of sin is death. It may not be you die and go to the grave immediately, but your relationships will die, your vision will die, opportunities will die, your health will die, stuff will die. The longer you disobey God, the more you die. I saw this on the news the other day. They were saying that if you drink fruit juice 3 times a week, it cuts your chance of getting Alzheimer's by 70%. God's in heaven going, duh. I gave you fruit long time ago. Y'all just figuring out that what I made is good for you? Let me tell you something. You go to the grocery store. And you go to the grocery store. Soon as you walk in the grocery store, just know this. Everything in all the aisles is no good for you. It's artificial. It's man-made. It's synthetic. It is not going to be properly digested or processed by your body as much as what's on the outside of the aisles, the walls. Fruits and vegetables and good chicken and whatever, whatever. Especially fruits and vegetables. God, you know what amazing God showed me about fruits and vegetables? If you take a seed of any fruit or vegetables, that seed has technology in it to take out of the dirt and make that thing you're going to eat. Look at a tomato. Tomato's red, it's got all this stuff in it, and it's good for you, right? You take a tomato seed out, that tomato seed has the technology that when you put it in the ground, it will take out of the dirt and make another tomato. Apple, orange. Did that ever dawn on you what I'm telling you? And when you eat all these different fruits and vegetables, they all have different things for you, and they're all compatible for your body. Why? Because God made you, and God made your food, and they're compatible. And God is saying, if you just do what I say, everything will be fine. What we do is we go out and we do all this other stuff. And we eat all this stuff. You know, we're the only animal on the planet Earth that drinks milk from another animal. Do you know that? Why are you drinking a cow's milk? Cow ain't have milk for you. We had our chance as babies. You know, babies who breastfeed, the nutrients that they get from their mother is like second to none. That was our opportunity. That's it. Now I'm not saying you shouldn't drink milk. But if you're lactose intolerant, you ever wonder why? That ain't for you. Your body's going, what's up with this? It's for a cow. Why I got this stuff in me? I'm not trying to say don't drink milk, because you know milk is supposed to be good for you and all that kind of stuff. I'm not trying to say that, but what I am trying to say is that God says, I have everything planned out for your life, and if you go against my plan, there are going to be problems inherent with that. Don't blame those problems on me. I'm telling you in advance. And so what he's telling Moses, Moses, I want to be able to speak to the people and say, hey, go to church every week. And then say, okay, I think you're right, God. Hey, why don't you go serve in the ministry? Okay, I think you're right, God. Hey, why don't you go tithe? Why don't you go pray for that person? Why don't you go apologize? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Instead of saying, hey, why don't you go to church? Well, God, I don't want to. Why not? Well, you know, it's football season. Can we start like in February? After the Pro Bowl? No, I think you should go to church today. Well, you know, God, I don't want to. Do you know that God does not yell at us? God's never yelled at me. God don't have to yell at you. Why? He can just do this. Now, this is a hypothetical. I want you to go to church today. God, I don't want to. Okay? I think you should go to church today. Well, God, I don't want to. Okay? Now, this is the third time I'm going to tell you. You should go to church today. Nah. Okay? You know that new car you just bought? It's in Tijuana. The engine, that's in Mazatlan. The tires are in Cabo and Las Vegas. Next time you want to have a conversation, I'll be right here. He don't need to yell at you. Now, am I saying that your car got stolen because you didn't go to church? I don't know. Could be. I just don't know. But my point is this. God says, Moses, I don't need to yell at people. Just say what you got to say. You know, it's like when you witness to somebody and share Christ with them, you don't have to yell. You don't have to argue. You don't have to raise your voice. Just say, here's the facts. God's word will do the rest. He said, I want you to speak to the rock. Because Moses, if you can speak to the rock, I want the people to learn that I can even speak to a rock and water will come out. And if I can speak to a rock and water come out, why can't I speak to you and you do what you're supposed to do? God, you could train a horse. You know what I love about horses? I love all animals. Literally all animals. But horses are so perfect. They're so beautiful. Powerful. I mean, awesome. All right? Right? And as powerful as a horse is, all it does is eat grass. You ever notice that? Think about it. Go to the zoo and look at a rhino. A rhino can run through that wall, and all it does is eat grass. I gotta have my steak. I gotta have my... Hey, rhino's stronger than you. All it eats is grass. Why? Because God made that big, strong animal and designed it such that it can get everything it needs to make itself big and strong from what's in the grass, and the grass got everything the rhino needed from the dirt. Why? Because God is coordinated. All that stuff was all made at the same time in creation. If it took billions of years, the rhino would have never lived because the grass would have never figured out in time to get from the dirt to give it what it needed to live. It all had to happen right now. And so my point is this, God got everything hooked up for you. He says, just trust me. I have it all planned. Don't be tripping. And Moses was tripping. God said this, God said this. God does not want to have that kind of relationship with you. God wants to be a friend to you. He wants to guide you and bless you and direct your life, give you joy. He doesn't want to fight with you. He doesn't want to fight with you. Do you think that God has to yell to make it rain? No. He says, hey, rain, drop. Rain, stop. So that's it. Number two. Moses misunderstood his relationship with God. For just a second, he got kind of out of whack with his relationship with God. I was running this morning in the park, and my shoelace came untied, and it was hitting against my leg as my feet were going by each other. And because I was running so fast, it was shooting up sparks. It was on fire. So I had to stop because, you know, my leg was burning. So I had to reach down and, you know, it was smoking. I had to tie my shoe. And as I was tying my shoe, I saw all these little ants on the ground, under my foot. Tiny ants. I was thinking, man, I wonder how many ants are on the earth. But then I started to look at how tiny these were compared to my foot and think how small they were compared to me. And to think how much smaller I am, you are, compared to God. We are not God's peers. You're not God's peer where you can kind of discuss stuff with God and suggest something he don't know. Now, you can definitely discuss with him. You know, absolutely discuss with him all your issues. But don't go to God as like a vice president to a vice president. Okay? It's not even owner intern. We can't even comprehend the gap between us and God. It's not, you know, God, what's up? How come you didn't do this in time? How come you didn't do this in time? Anytime you complain, you're telling God he ain't doing his job right. God, you know, you didn't give me this. I should have got that raise. I should have got that man. I should have got that woman. I should have got that car. Blah, 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 blah. God's like, if I would have thought you had it, you would have had it. And the reason you ain't getting it is because you keep whining. We're not God's peers. Moses and Aaron bowed down. Look what it says in verse 6. Verse 6 says, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle, and they fell on their faces. Last Saturday night, not yesterday, a week ago, I was in San Joaquin Valley at Stanislaus State. They had a concert outreach. It was a group called Mercy Me and Me. So there was like 12,000 people there. They had 10,000 seats. And they had to close the gates. Actually, we got there half hour early. It was like 9,500 people there. It was a free concert, outreach, evangelism. So I'm standing on the side of the stage opposite where all the other people were sitting by myself, just kind of, you know, praying and kind of looking at the crowd, the band, whatever, just trying to think. And I'm over there where some of the electronic equipment was. So I'm standing there by myself, and this guy walks over to me and stands right next to me. And I'm assuming he's like, what are you doing over here? You know, he's standing right next to me. He's like, you're over here by yourself, by the equipment. So I said, you know, I wanted to spark a conversation, you know, didn't want to act like, because if I walked right away, it was like, it looked suspicious. So I said, you know, what do you do? And he said, you know, put him on the defensive. In other words, what are you doing over here? Kind of like. And he said, well, the lighting guy. I was like, oh, well, I'm the speaker. And when I go out there to speak, do you think you can have the lights on? The crowd. Because sometimes they blind you. They put all the lights off, and they just put spotlights on you. You can't see anything. You just see lights, and so you can't really connect to people. So he said, can you make sure the lights are still in the crowd? And he said, no, we're going to make you preach in the dark. He was joking, and I knew he was joking because he said it kind of chuckled. I was like, but for reals. This is a real request. He might have thought I was being sarcastic, so he ended up being sarcastic. But I really meant, because sometimes they don't do that. He's all right. So I go out there to speak. I get introduced. No lie. Soon as I say, hello, how you doing? All the lights went out. The whole venue was pitch black. The big screen, they had one of those Jumbotron things. It was static. No image. Only thing that worked was my microphone, which was, at least that worked. So I'm like, that dude turned the lights out on the brother. I'm like, it was like 3 to 5 minutes. I don't remember how, you know, what exactly, but I end up talking. I was like, how y'all doing? We're in the dark, blah, blah, blah. I said, everyone get out your cell phones. And they opened the cell phone up to make the light shine. And we were all doing like at a concert. Hey, I'm a rock star. So we did all that for like 5 minutes. We're talking. All of a sudden the lights come on and someone came out to me and said that they blew a fuse. So that's what really happened. But you know, it was cool. What if, you know, the Bible says it's not by power or by might, but by my spirit that you can do anything? What if God turned off his Holy Spirit in your life? What if God says, you know what? I'm not going to give you any more job opportunities. I'm not going to anoint anything you do or say. Your prayers are not going to be heard anymore. Your jokes, no one's going to laugh. And I'm not talking just to me. I'm talking to all of y'all. What if your paycheck never comes home? What if all your bodily functions just shut down? Do you know that your heart, your brain does not make your heart beat? Your heart beats on its own. It has a little thing called the SA node, and it creates its own beat. You can take your heart out of your brain, your heart out of your body, and it'll beat by itself. You can take your heart out of your body and put it on a table, and it'll beat by itself for a limited period of time. But it'll beat. How does your heart beat? God. God. He says, what if I just remove myself from your life completely? What do you got? Nothing. Look what Moses did. Moses said in verse 10, Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water from the rock? Everyone say we. One more time, say we. Moses, this ain't a we thing. This ain't a we thing. It's not me and you. This is all about me. It ain't we. Is me. And from our perspective, it ain't we, is he. This is not you and God, is God. And you may say, well, God has to use my voice, but it's so much of everything you have came from God that it's all God. The minute you start thinking it's you, watch out. And the minute we all start thinking it's him or her, watch out. It's God. It's God. And God says, Moses, don't you ever try to take credit for what I'm doing. Don't you ever put your hands on my glory. Don't you ever try to convince people that you and I are separate from you and them. I love them just as much as I love you. And the minute you mess up, you have a privileged relationship with me. And you do have a special relationship with me. But it's because of me that you have that relationship, not because of you. It's not because of your righteousness that I blessed you. It's not because of your goodness that I blessed you. And by the way, for all of us in this room, it's not because of our righteousness, our good looks, our intelligence that God forgives you of your sin. It's just because of him. Without him, where would you be? And you may be thinking today, well, you know, something's me. The Bible says we're sinners. So everything that's messed up in your life, that's you. But I'm a good person. The Bible says none good, no, not one. Some of the stuff, think about it. Think about some of the stuff you really would like to do to people. Let me take a poll. Be honest. Yeah. You just need to raise your hand now because you're going to be guilty. How many of y'all, if you really did everything you wanted to do to people, you would be in jail? Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Let me say it again, different way. If you really did everything you wanted to do to people, you'd be on death row. That's you. If you're still not convinced, I want you to go home today and tell God, God, everything I have, I got. And you can't take it. I don't know anybody that stupid. Matter of fact, if you ever meet an atheist, if you ever meet somebody who says they don't believe in God, challenge them to do that. I challenge you to tell God every day for a week that everything you have is yours. Your health, your wealth, everything is yours, and God can't touch it. He can't do nothing about it because God don't exist. Challenge them to say it every day. Oh, ooh. Keep their phone number. Because in a week when you call, it'll be disconnected. Some of y'all may make this mistake every now and then, but some of y'all may have your whole life is in opposition to God. You never accepted Christ as your Savior. It's all about you. It's all what you did, what you know, how good you are. It's not about God. It's about you. It's like being a Raider fan. You know, when you exist on the dark side And Darth Vader is your role model. You need to understand that you need to come to the side of the light. San Diego. You need Jesus in your life. But if you are, and we use football as a metaphor because it's in the Word of God, I don't have time to show you that verse, but if you are a Raider fan by birth or by choice, you have chosen that I'm on this side. And if you say, I'm not a Christian, I'm going to do the thing my own way, you have decided just by your choice that you are in opposition to God. Because God says a Christian means little Christ. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. You come to the other side. It's not a matter of are you a good person, relatively speaking. It's not a matter of do you did bad things. It's a matter of where you are conditionally. You're either forgiven or you're not. And so your whole disposition may be, I'm at enmity with God. I'm God's enemy. Because I haven't chosen to submit myself to God in a relationship, biblical relationship with Christ. So number one is that you say, you know what? I can't represent God's heart because I don't have God's heart. I have my heart, which I think is good, but the Bible says my heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. So it's not as good as I think. We're not as good as we think. Amen? We're just not. We're not as funny as we think. Amen? We're not as good looking as we think. Amen? Okay. We misrepresent God's relationship. We think, well, God made me, so I must be a child of God. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says we're a child of God's wrath. The Bible says when you're born again, you become a child of God. Born again is not a religion, by the way. It's an act where you accept Christ as your dad, your Lord and Savior, and you are spiritually born into his family. It's a relationship. You can call yourself anything you want. You can call yourself a Presbyterian, a Methodist, whatever you want. It's Christ your Savior because you voluntarily ask him to forgive you and fill you with his Holy Spirit. Now you are born again. You start all over. You're spiritually born. You have a beginning. That's the transition from one side to the other. If you don't have God's heart, you can't represent God properly spiritually. It doesn't mean you're not a nice person. It doesn't mean you're not polite. And by the way, it doesn't mean that to some people, you're probably nicer than some Christians. That's true as well. But it does mean your heart has not been cleansed. God just made you nicer. Don't take credit for your niceness. Some people are just really nice. Amen? And some people are like, and there's a place for both those people. The people who are, a lot of times they get a lot done in the world. And other people who are really nice, sometimes they don't get a lot done, but they make a lot of friends. I think for her, I figured out. I now know why they're that way. And let me tell you this. One is not better than the other. It's just different. We always want to say that person's better, that person. Don't let's try to make people like we are. Let's let them just be what they are. Because God, the economy needs all kinds of people. Because if we were all, hey, we wouldn't have water today. Electricity. There'd be no one going in space. We wouldn't have a television. At the same time, if you didn't have the nice people, we'd all be fighting each other. It takes balance. My point is this, without God's heart, you're just your sinfulness. God's heart makes it all that much better. The third one. Moses misused God's authority. The rod was symbolic of God's power and authority. With the rod, Moses performed miracles. With the rod, Moses confronted Pharaoh. The rod turned into a serpent, a snake, and then it turned back into a rod. With the rod, he called down lice and locusts and parted the sea. The rod was representative of God's power. And God told Moses, take that rod. And with that rod, people will know you have my authority. You speak to the rod. Don't use the rod for anything what I call it, tell you to do. Look what it says in verse 10. Verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with the rod and water came out abundantly. Don't misuse what God has given you to vent your frustration. By the way, before I get into that, let me tell you, God still brought water. Just because he brought the water doesn't mean Moses did the right thing. Just because you're blessed don't mean you're doing the right thing. Let me explain it a little further. Just because you're not in jail today doesn't mean you're innocent. Just because you're married doesn't mean you're a good husband or wife. Just because you have a job doesn't mean you're a good employee. And just because you've been in your job a long time doesn't mean you haven't made a whole lot of mistakes that you could have very well got fired for. Just because you pray and stuff happens doesn't mean you are righteous enough to deserve the answers to those prayers. God loves us and treats us according to His grace. The definition of grace is getting something you do not deserve. You know when you say grace dinner? And you may not realize this. When you say grace, let's all say grace. I'm sorry. I appreciate you very obedient, very submissive and responsive. I appreciate that. It's an interactive experience. I understand. But when you sit down to eat your dinner and you say to your family, let's all say grace, what you're saying, at least this is my opinion don't mean anything, is let's all thank God for something we don't deserve. Let's all thank God for this food. Because we don't deserve the food. There's people, very good, honest, hardworking people right now starving. Getting raped, killed, mutilated because they're Christian. Today. You know how we say we hope the rapture comes and we don't get... That's already happening. There are people right now getting treated like it's the Great Tribulation today in this world right now. We are just isolated from that. And we are in the bubble where we think this is what life's about for everybody. We are the most blessed on the planet Earth. Why? Because we've adopted God as the God of this country, which is changing. That's why our blessing's going to leave. But for you and I, you are blessed because of God's grace, His abundant mercy, far beyond what you deserve. That will never change. You will never be able to pay God back or earn what He's given you. Never. Because you should have been dead already. So, whenever you take the responsibility and opportunity God has given you to represent Him and you don't use it the way He says, the way He wants, the way that honors Him as God only, you misuse His authority. For all you moms out there, not women, moms, all y'all who have children, God has given you an unbelievable responsibility, opportunity, gifts to be a mom. He did not give dads the ability to be a mom. Dads can't mother. One, we can't have kids. So there'd be no kids if there wasn't a man and a woman coming together. There'd be no people. We would all die. When two people of the same gender get together, there's no kids result. Your population becomes extinct. That's not God's plan. Take it for whatever you read into that. I meant whatever you read into that. God says no. I'm gonna give a woman the ability to be a mom. I'm gonna make a man, then I'm gonna make a wombed man, and with that womb comes all the other stuff needed to support what that womb is gonna produce. So God gave you a womb to make a baby, and then He gave you everything else to support, so you can love that baby needs as a mother. Hormones. We'll end right there, okay? We'll end right there. That's all motherhood. It's all motherhood. Because mothers protect little babies like nobody else. You know what the Bible says? Don't ever encounter a bear robbed of its cubs. What the Bible's saying is that if you ever see a mother bear when someone took his cubs, you better run because there ain't no turning back that mother bear. Same with women. You mess with a mother? You take mess with someone's children? Oh, no, you did not. That's a responsibility God gave you. Don't abuse that responsibility. If you're a manager today, don't abuse that responsibility. If you're an owner of a company, if you're a Christian neighbor, you should be praying for your neighbors. Don't abuse that responsibility. If you're a dad, do you know that God, Father God, not Mother God, Father God gave men His own title? Don't abuse that responsibility. God gave it to you. Are you aware of that? Are you honoring of the opportunity that God has given you to represent Him? The responsibility God has given you to represent Him? Don't do that. Make sure you know what God has called you to do. Now, your homework is this week is that you would think of one thing in your life, area of your life, that you do not honor God in. One area of your life where you misrepresent God. And when people count on you, they go, that's not godly. Why they get like that? Do people see you cursing up down the street? Garnet, 11:30 at night. I go to the Rock. My name is Pastor Miles. Deranged. Cursing? Yelling? Acting a fool? Coming to church once a month? You don't tithe, you don't serve, you don't pray, you don't read your Bible. You got a lot of work to do. God says, how you misrepresent me. Because the more you misrepresent me, the more you're cheating yourself out of the promised land. The more you cheat yourself out, you may be thinking, does that mean I'm not going to go to heaven? Not necessarily. It just means you're not going to, heaven ain't going to come to you here. You can have heaven now. What does that mean? All the stuff you stress about, you don't necessarily have to stress about it. If you eat right, really, if you eat properly, you should eat about 5 to 6 meals a day, about that big of food. Five is about a fist. Protein, fist of carbs, and a thumb of fat. 4 or 5 times a day, if you eat properly. And if you eat properly, you will never be hungry, and you will never be full. You'll be like this all day. You won't even notice it. You'll eat, you won't be real hungry, you'll just know I'm supposed to eat. I mean, you may feel a little bit, but I know I'm supposed to eat, it's about that time, boom, and you never felt it. You never feel it in here. It's like you never ate it, but you're not hungry. And then you go on. Cough 3 more hours, eat again, a little bit, something, go on. And you're never like, oh, I just ate. And you're like, that's bad. Your body's going, oh my gosh, I gotta process all this stuff. What is that? Caramel, what am I gonna do with that? So we send our bodies through all this. And then we go to bed and you have what they call proprioceptors. Proprioceptors, there's many different kinds in your body, but what they do in general is that they enable your body to understand where it is in space. In other words, if I close my eyes, I should do this with my finger and touch my nose. Because my proprioceptors are telling my hand where they are in relation to my nose. I don't have to look at it. When you walk, your proprioceptors tell you where the ground is. You shouldn't have to look at the ground to walk. Okay? Well, you have proprioceptors inside your muscles, inside your all your muscles, your joints, your organs. So when your stomach is stretched, your proprioceptors say, stop, please. You are full. And then when they get stressed too much, they start to make your brain hurt and your mouth will shut down because they'll say no more food. Because some people eat until they have no room left except in their mouth. My point is this, is that when you eat properly, your life is like this, your sugar level is like this, your energy level is like this, and you just kind of all day, all the time. You go to bed around the same time, you wake up around the same time, and please, you go to the bathroom around the same time. It's all like a machine. You'll live longer, healthier, and you'll deal with stress better. Everything is better. The reason I tell you that is that when you start to eliminate this junk in your life, all those little sin things you do, attitude things you hold on, all of a sudden, your emotional and spiritual life is like that. People's stuff don't bother you. You go to bed and you're like, something's wrong because nothing's wrong. And your life is just like this. And you'll be tripping on how much all this stuff that used to really get you down, don't get you down anymore. You're just like this all day. And you could praise God about everything. My car's in Tijuana. Praise the Lord, I got good insurance. My girlfriend left me. and there's so much I want to say right now. I don't want to say anything. I'll give you ladies a chance. My boyfriend left me. But you know what? It's like, wait a minute, I see. I understand. But first you have to say, Christ, I'm in it for you. I'm going to do this your way, not my way. I'm not going to do it for your way today, my way tomorrow. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to do it your way when it's convenient. I'm going to do it your way all the time. The first step in that is that you have to give your life to Christ. Because if you're on the dark side, as a sinner, unforgiven, you have to first come over and be forgiven and receive the heart of God. Let me read a verse to you. This is a very fascinating verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 5 is going to tell us that Christ is the rock and that he pours out the Holy Spirit water on us when you speak to him. Moses, speak to the rock. Because my son, the rock of your salvation, is going to come. And I'm not going to want people to think they have to yell at him and hit the cross. They should just speak to the cross. Speak to Christ. Christ, please forgive me. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Please pour out living water on my life. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. New Testament, Paul speaking about the Old Testament people we've been reading about. I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants mostly, all under the cloud that they passed through the sea, the Red Sea, as they came out of Egypt, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud. Moses had that pillar of cloud above him. And in the sea, they all ate the same spiritual food, the manna that came down, the bread, the heavenly bread as it's called. Jesus is the manna, the bread from bread of life. And they drank the same spiritual drink, water from the rock. They drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them. That rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the desert. We saw that last week, a bunch of people killed. We saw 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that God said, all y'all going to die. You're going to walk 38 and a half years, 40 years till y'all die because you wouldn't believe me. He said they were all scattered in the desert. Why? Because they wouldn't believe me. God is saying, hey, speak to the rock, Jesus. Just ask him to forgive you. And rivers of living water will be poured on you and out of your heart. And they will cleanse you. Let's all bow for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you that you are the rock. You don't change. You are consistent. You love us. You are patient. You are kind. You want to speak to us. You don't want to hit us. You don't want to yell at us. You want to heal us, encourage us, give us hope. And if we would speak to you, and ask you for wisdom, you would tell us great, mighty things we don't know. If we would speak to you and ask for encouragement, you would give us unspeakable joy, clear vision for the future. If this morning you realize you are a sinner, you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you've been trying to do it in your own power, you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, but you want to. You want to learn how to honor God as holy in a spiritual sense. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. And as you pray, you must pray believing that the spiritual rock, Jesus, loves you, knows you, has waited anxiously for this day to bless you and forgive you. So in the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I believe I'm a sinner. I believe my sin is wrong. I believe the penalty is death. But I believe you love me, that you died and rose from the dead. Please forgive me. Please wash me with your spiritual water, living water. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, transform my mind and my heart. Thank you, Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand. And by standing, you are acknowledging, yes, Jesus is my Savior. You are acknowledging, yes, I've cried out to the rock and he answered me. Water came forth and cleansed me. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying this morning, yes, Lord, please forgive me. Just stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless all of you. Stay standing. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. Very good. Very good. All of you. Very good. All around the room. God bless you. Anybody else? God is saying, God bless you today. He's saying today, right now. I want to love you. Stand to your feet. Trust me. Anybody else? Very good. We got a minute. Anybody else? Very good. Now we're going to ask all y'all who are standing. There are many of you all over the room. Back, front, left, right. We're going to ask you, as the Jews are walking through the wilderness, we're going to ask you to walk down here to the altar. Let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen.